Blog Talk Radio.
Into this commercial because former New Mexico governor and diplomat Bill Richardson has died. His political career started in Congress, representing New Mexico's 3rd congressional district, elected in 1982. He continued to serve in Congress until 1997, when President Bill Clinton appointed him as U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. The following year, Richardson joined Clinton's cabinet as Secretary of Energy. Then in 2002, Richardson was elected as New Mexico's 30th governor. While Governor Richardson sought the nation's highest office, though he ran for the 2008 Democratic nomination for president, it ended after the New Hampshire primary. After serving 2 terms as governor, Richardson left politics but continued his diplomatic efforts. Working as a diplomat and special envoy, Richardson negotiated the release of Americans held around the world, including Cuba, Iraq, Sudan, most recently North Korea. His diplomatic work earned him 5 Nobel Prize nominations, most recently last month. Former Governor Bill Richardson was 75 years old. The Richardson Center for Global Engagement says Richardson died at his home in Massachusetts. In a statement, it says, quote, Governor Richardson passed away peacefully in his sleep last night. He lived his entire life in the service of others, including both his time in government and his subsequent career helping to free people held hostage or wrongfully detained abroad. There was no person that Governor Richardson would not speak with if it held a promise or returning a person to freedom. The world has lost a champion for those held unjustly abroad, and they have lost a mentor and a dear friend. Now, Action 7 News will continue to follow the story throughout the day. Go to KOAT.com and the free KOAT app for breaking developments and reaction throughout the day and tonight on Action 7 News at 10. We'll see you then.
Yes, so Bill Richardson, former governor of the great state of New Mexico, where I am, he passed away recently, and also Jimmy Buffett, the singer. So condolences to the fans of those two great men. Welcome to the show, everybody. We'll have a whole big thing lined up and everything. So glad you could join us. So voting is extremely important. Many Americans take it for granted. And a lot of countries around the world don't have a proper election system. And some are even killed for expressing their thoughts on political matters openly. So, of course, our democracy in America isn't perfect. No country's political process is perfect, but since 1776 till now, we have made it work. With Republicans blocking everything and disabling progress, isn't it time that they were voted out on all levels of government? How do you feel about the Electoral College? Should it be amended or ended? Should it be one person equal one vote and get rid of the out-of-touch Electoral College? It has lost its relevance decades ago. It was built on racism. Time to move on in another direction as we look ahead in the 2024 election cycle.
What are your thoughts, America, on both political parties? Has super PACs and dark money ruined free and fair elections in America? Should each state have strictly closed primaries? Will America ever elect a woman, an LGBTQ, a Latino person as president of the United States in her lifetime? How much power does millennials and Generation Z really have to have a great impact on 2024? Thanks for joining us in discussion as we talk about all these things and all our relevant points on tonight's show. Call in with your thoughts and ideas on the topic tonight. America, your choice and your voice through your vote 2024. The number to call is 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling in from. Do not speak over either me or Lori, nor fellow callers, and turn off all background noise as the feed disrupts the rhythm of the show. We thank you for sharing across all social media and visiting our official website, which is www.kitchenpolitics123.com. This is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. I'm David Franklin, New Mexico.
Hi, and this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Hopefully we have a good show lined up this evening. And I think I wanted to just start out by reading a comment from a Facebook friend. His name is Wolf in Alabama. And this is what he said. And he asked a question. He asks a question at the end. So maybe we'll try to answer it and discuss it. Sorry if this is rambling. It's just what's kicking around in this blue dot and in a very red state mind. My vote through 2024 is pretty much the same vote that I cast in 2008. The 2008 presidential election. It's a vote for hope in this country and the belief that our best days lie ahead of us and not behind us. 2008 was the first election that my daughter voted. I'm proud to say, as her dad, that she voted for President Obama. She was born in 1989, and I sat out to raise a little liberal, and sure did. She makes me look like Newt Gingrich with a big smiley face. I planted a seed, and that seed bent the universe towards a higher understanding of politics. Point of fact of generation. Why is there more optimistic and want change for the environment and social justice? Generation millennials and Z will influence this country towards liberal politics. They call for tightening gun laws and a better steward of this earth. They're tired of greed. They're sick of right-wing politics. They sure have had a belly of Trump. Full of Trump. Those who say, I hate the government and there's no difference between Republicans or Democrats are trying to sell you a dead horse. The thing that they don't mention is that they are Republicans and they are trying to get you to give up your vote. Do you think that those who have grown up watching Sandy Hook and mass shootings and the overreach of the Supreme Court to curtail the rights of women will ever forget those lessons? I don't think any of those generations are going to forget anything. They're not going to forget all the horrible power that this Republican Party is trying to put through. Abortion, take away abortion rights. They want to ban books. I mean, they are basically going into a fascist direction, and it must be stopped. So Wolf is absolutely right. Both blue, and no, I agree with him. We will not forget the lessons that the Republican Party has given women and everyone in this country. Absolutely not.
Exactly. And Republicans love claiming that they're for, the troops and they're the law and order party. But of course, January 6th happened. A lot of them has been going to prison, the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys, and what have you. So is the Nectar 19 will follow suit. The Nectarine 19 is Donald Trump and 18 co-defendants in Georgia. And Fannie Willis, the DA, wants to prosecute them together. And the reason why she wants to prosecute them together is to show the public, you know, how they're interconnected and what they did behind the scenes to, like, try to usurp power from the rightly elected government. Because usually after presidential elections, if their party, there's a, the party in power lose, then there should be an automatic, you know, transfer of power, peaceful transfer of power. But Donald Trump and his minions don't really care about democracy. Donald Trump just care about being a king or a dictator. And America will stand for that. Since 1776 till now, we have had transfer of power peacefully. And one man has to win, one person has to lose. And that was Donald Trump in 2020. And so recently Trump pleaded not guilty in Georgia election case. And a judge ruling on the case said that it's going to be televised on all major networks and also on YouTube and social media. So this is like a clip of, you know, Donald Trump, an explanation about, you know, him pleading not guilty.
Hot time for your morning rush this Friday as new developments this morning in Donald Trump's Georgia election interference case. First, the former president waiving his in-person arraignment but pleading not guilty to the charges he faces. Trump formally asking the judge to separate his case from his co-defendants who have asked for a speedy trial. Also, the judge ruled that trial can be live streamed. You'll be able to watch it on YouTube.
Yes, so there you have it. So Friday's report and a Georgia television station say that a judge says it can be live streamed on YouTube and cameras will be allowed and all sorts of gadgets like telephones and you know, things of that nature to, you know, televise and carry live the election fraud of Donald Trump in Georgia. So now, do you think that he'd get a slap on the wrist, or do you think it's going to be a lengthy jail time?
This case here, the Georgia case, it's, I've read it. It sounds like it's definitely a prison case, that he could go to prison. Absolutely. Especially the RICO charges. So, and we have to remember, he has 91 charges against him with all four indictments, one charges. So at some point, something will stick. And I have to give, you know, Fannie Willis kudos because she is one strong lady. She has, you know, she has taken a lot of flack for this. She's been, you know, made to sound like she's wicked. But she's not. She's very smart. She put a case together. It took 2 years. And she even has the guts, in my opinion, to try them. She wants to try them all together, all 19 of them. And I think one would rather his by himself and delay. But I don't think that's going to happen. You need to be tried together so she can interlink everything together and put all the pieces together to show what happened and how this came about and why they should, why they should go to prison for it. If, you know, if the case, you know, if they did what, you know, she said they did, then they have to pay the price. That's it.
Yeah. And do you notice that Donald Trump, him wanting to go on his own for a speedy trial, he wants to throw everybody else under the bus saying, oh, that advice that they gave me was wrong and, you know, he depends on them to give him correct information. But, you know, he surrounded himself with yes men and yes women. Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, you can go through the line. Matt Meadows, a former chief of staff. And Matt Meadows last week testified and he bottled it. He botched it up totally. But he threw Trump under the bus, and from what I've been reading and hearing about this case is that everybody's turning against each other. My main question, though, is that woman, oh, before I even met that point, the proposed trial date is set for the 19 people to begin October 23rd of this year, and it's an extremely ambitious schedule. So Willis has laid out first details of her case against Trump, his White House Chief of Staff, Matt Meadows, and 17 other co-defendants, and a hearing regarding Meadows' request to move his case to federal court. It's not going to happen because U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan is expected to set a trial date and for the subversion case and everything. But my big question really is, this woman, Jenny Thomas, you know, she wrote, she texted Matt Meadows, "You can realize right now that there are no rules in war." That was what Jenny Thomas texted to Matt Meadows, the then White House Chief of Staff. So that was the very first line of text sent from her to him during Donald Trump's insurrection and failed coup d'etat. So I want to ask the people out there who are listening, you know, what, why isn't Jenna Thomas a free person still? Because, you know, is she above the law because her husband is Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court Justice, and who's also a corrupt piece of shit, who should lose his robe and retire, probably put in prison because of the kickbacks he got on the different expensive vacations when he was trying to cater to the people who were giving him those vacations. You know, if that's not a conflict of interest, then I don't know what the hell it is. You know, it's so sad that the United States has turned into this where, you know, people who have money or have affluence and influence that us, you know, can buy off, you know, whomever is in power because they have money, and that person in turn, you know, turn a blind eye to whatever case is on the Supreme Court in front of them, knowing full well that there's a conflict of interest because there's no, you know, checks and balances in the Supreme Court. Then, hey, conservative Supreme Court justices can do any damn thing they please. Imagine if a liberal leaning judge on the Supreme Court did that, they'd want his or her head. So it's hypocrisy and double standard. I think the chicken's coming home to roost with Clarence Thomas, and Jenny Thomas should not be a free woman today because of what she texted to Mark Meadows. You know, so it's a whole sordid case. You know, it's a whole shit show where, you know, these right-wingers, fundamentalist freak shows, you know, trying to run America in their, you know, how they want to see America run under a religious banner. And that's just crazy because the Constitution of the United States says, yes, you can have a religion. But, you know, if you don't want to have a religion, then you don't have to have a religion. You know, it's freedom of choice, freedom of expression. So Republicans saying one thing but doing yet another thing. They're trying to turn another Iran. I don't see how well Iran is running. So, you know, come on, people, this is election time. After Labor Day, 2024 is in full swing, and, you know, it's very important that you go out and vote in these primaries. And, you know, whomever Republicans choose, God forbid if we choose Trump again, we cannot take anything for granted like we did in 2016, because if this fascist goes back into power, he said it 2-3 days ago on the Glenn Beck show, where he said that he's going after his political opponents and throwing them in jail. And one of the destinations he hopes is Guantanamo Bay. You know, so, you know, Donald Trump has shown his hand. He showed what a corrupt, delusional, evil person he is. So we cannot allow him to be president again. Ron DeSantis is a close second in terms of cruelty. I guess cruelty is the point of these Republicans. They don't give a damn about people. You know, and the rest of the field basically is just running for a vice presidential pick. Because they're all incompetent, they're all a joke, and shame on me and any of us who, you know, overestimate the intelligence of politicians, especially Republicans, because these people are not worthy of the White House, the highest office in the land, and arguably the most powerful seat in the world as president of the United States. So when people call in, say first name, where you're calling from, want to hear your take on it, about this whole circus going on about the start in Georgia on October 23rd.
The number to call, 515-605-9802. Don't be shy. And thank you for sharing across all social media. We really appreciate it. Their numbers. Okay, welcome to the call. And this is from Michigan. And this is Elaine. Hello, Elaine. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Good evening. Nothing much. Just happy Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day from you. Yes.
You two are doing great.
Did you do anything special?
I said you two are doing great. Continue on.
Thank you.
Okay, cool. So did you do anything special for Labor Day today?
Mm,
or tomorrow
no.
is Labor Day. Sorry. Do you have anything special planned?
Well, I went to an event on Friday, which was free till 5 o'clock, Arts, Beats, and Eats in Royal Oak. It was really awesome. It was a nice time.
Mm-hmm.
Walked around slowly. And, boy, that sun is hot. I'll tell you, I have never felt the sun as hot as, you know, the air was cool, but when you were standing in the sun, you knew you were standing in the sun. I really do believe people ought to start paying attention. We have got problems with the climate change. That's my take on it. It just seems like the sun, even with a cool breeze, is extremely hot. So, you know.
And, you know, speaking of climate change, President Biden was in Maui recently, and he got criticized for not being there earlier. What did the people expect, or anybody who criticizing him expected? There's a fire that devastated the whole place. People died. People are homeless, jobless, whatever. It's affecting a lot of people. So if he goes there with a presidential motorcade, back traffic up, people panicking already, no food, food shortage, water shortage, you know? So he did the right thing by enforcing or enabling FEMA to get all the resources they need to help people who are, you know, to sort out the plight and everything. So it's a damn if you do, damn if you don't. You know, at least the bright side is Biden didn't go there throwing paper towels like Trump did when he went to Puerto Rico. So that's a good thing. Biden know what he's doing, and he did the right thing by giving FEMA the power to, you know, make the changes necessary to help people.
To begin with, he wasn't needed there. They were still looking to identify the missing. And they announced that. But the right wing, I don't care if we gave gold to everybody, the right wing would find something wrong with it. So, you know, you just, they're deflect. So I've gotten to the point I don't even hear them anymore. And I think a lot of the people are getting that way. They're not even listening to what the right wing is ballyhooing about. I mean, anybody with any kind of comment knows that you just can't jump into an area, especially the way that fire ravaged that town.
Yeah, that was horrible. And he did go there right away. You know, he did go there right away. I'm going to go.
Safe. He is the President of the United States. We have got to keep the President of the United States safe, even if it was that orange buffoon.
Absolutely.
And the fire happened on his watch. We would have still had to keep the President of the United States safe.
Yep.
So the right wing,
exactly.
You know, you can just stick it in your ear. We're just tired of listening to your crap.
Absolutely. I'm going to go back.
And, you know, speaking of call, make your point. Remember your point. That's what I have to say this, that, you know, it wasn't even right-wingers alone, but some people on the left were criticizing Biden for not going in there quicker, which is just garbage. Just shut your mouths, you know, because when Trump was doing his thing, a lot of you said nothing, you know, and not criticizing because, oh, you know, for whatever reason, you fear Donald Trump. You know, shut the hell up. You know, not saying you can't criticize Biden and the White House when they do, you know, they mess up, but this is not one of the times you should criticize. Just shut your mouths, know your role, and everything will be good. So now,
Trump candidate barred from Arizona's 2024 ballot, says Democratic Secretary of State in Arizona. But go ahead with the point, Lori. You're making a point.
Well, first of all, I want to go back a moment. Florida, they just had the hurricane. I think it was called Elsa or something like that. And Biden all went there as well. And the Satan, of course, did not meet with him at all. And when so he did tour, you know, he toured with whomever was there, you know, whatever mayor, whomever he toured with, but MIA for DeSantis, missing in action, of course. And then when a reporter asked President Biden, will DeSantis come and meet you? He said, no, I don't think he's coming. And they said, well, what will you do? He says, we're going to help the people of Florida. That is what President Biden responded. So he didn't have anything to say about DeSantis, and DeSantis should be very ashamed for not showing up when the President of the United States comes to your state after it's had a hurricane. And, you know, he turned down months ago, he also has turned down millions of dollars for climate change, for things for the environment, that he was offered money for that, and he turned the money down. So we have to think about this man, this DeSantis. We really have to think about the evilness that he, the heart of evil that he has. He doesn't really have any sort of compassion. I mean, it's very visible. Cannot be president of the United States. There is just no way that can be possible. The other thing I want to talk about for a second is Ginny Thomas. Well, we did, you know, Ginny Thomas did text Mark Meadows, and she, you know, she's been a longtime conservative activist. We know that she is the wife of Clarence Thomas, which I just, I have no respect for after everything that's come out about him, no respect whatsoever. But in the transcript, that there was an interview that was done, and it was released to the panel, the January 6th panel. And it says she was emotional after the election when she sent several texts to Meadows urging him to stand firm with the then President Donald Trump as he falsely claimed that there was widespread fraud in the election. In the text, she bemoaned the state of American politics and the call and called the election a heist, Thomas told the panel she still feels there were election irregularities, but she does believe that Joe Biden is the president of the United States. You know, it was an emotional time, Thomas told the committee. I'm sorry these texts exist. You know, she was just trying to dig out of a hole, because that I do not believe for a second that she's sorry. I really don't. And why? She's not part of this January 6th, you know, conspiracy. And, you know, I'm not giving up on the hope that she might be. Seeing that Clarence Thomas is the Supreme, you know, on the Supreme Court, that's more than likely why she won't be charged with anything. And that's really not fair, because that makes it a two-tier system. And I dislike that a lot.
Yes, and, you know, back in 1991, when George H.W. Bush nominated Clarence Thomas for the U.S. Supreme Court to replace Thurgood Marshall, who had announced his retirement, at the time of his nomination, Thomas was a judge on the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbus Circuit. So George Bush Sr. had appointed him to that position in March of 1990. The nomination proceedings were contentious from the start, especially over the issue of abortion. Many women's groups and civil rights groups oppose abortion, Thomas, based on his conservative political views, just as they had opposed Bush's Supreme Court nominee from the previous year, David Souter. Towards the end of the confirmation process, sexual harassment allegations against trans Thomas by Anita Hill, a law professor who had previously worked under Thomas at the United States Department of Education and then Equal Opportunity
Equal Employment Opportunity Commission will leak to the media for a confidential FBI report. So the Senate Judiciary Committee, before the nomination, was moved to the full Democratically controlled Senate for a vote. And unfortunately, on October 15, 1991, Thomas was confirmed by to the Supreme Court by a now Senate majority of 52-48. He took the oath of office October 23, 1991. Yeah, so again, Anita Hill warned us. And, you know, still confirm this rascal, you know, carries powers to the court and everything. And now, like I said, the chicken's coming home to roost. He's corrupt. He's vile. He's vindictive. He's incompetent in certain things. You know, Richard Nixon would be proud of someone like Clarence Thomas. You know, the way he's corrupt. You know, I mean, it's like there's no bottom to these people in terms of, you know, when we talk about family values. They have none. They shouldn't utter the word values out of the mouth where they're so corrupt. No, it's disgraceful. It's disgusting. It's appalling. And America deserves better than anything. Season 5, Episode 29, America, Your Choice and Your Voice, Through Your Vote, 2024. That's a topic tonight. 515-605-903, the number to call. You can visit us at kitchenpolitics123.com. And we're talking about, you know, election 2024 coming up in our regard. So we'll have a new caller calling in. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. What's cooking today?
I think you mean me. Is that in Michigan?
Yes.
How
you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
It's depressing to watch the news anymore, isn't it? It just makes me sick to my stomach. I was watching MSNBC, and they had a few things on there today. One about Trump promoting another violent assault on the U.S. government and goes for the jugular. Ron DeSantis in his truth rant, you know, his site, and DeSantis trying to squeeze out of it rejects that he won in 2020, that Trump won. So for 2 years now, Trump has been saying that he's unaware of what the rioters had it planned for January 6th, and he's not responsible for their violence and law breaking. However, he just shared on his post on the truth that proves not only is he aware that his supporters are violent, but he wants to have them signal a boost that they the concept of another violent takeover. It was a terrifying transportation back in time to the days leading up to January 6th and the red flag for the country as to what may be coming if Trump doesn't win in 2024 nomination for presidency. So he's throwing red meat to them, and they're buying it.
Yeah, and these people are buying it. The thing is, you know, haven't they learned from January 6, 2021, that if you go against, try to overthrow the government, then you're going to get serious jail time and you're going to be punished severely for it? I mean, how dense are these Trump supporters, these MAGA supporters? I mean, really?
Very dense.
What are they thinking?
They always have those man on the street interviewing their campaign out, you know, things, and they're just like robots. They say the same thing. Oh, it's all about Trump, and he's so great, and everybody else is too dumb, and all this. And they don't. It doesn't make any sense. They're like robots, you know. They're one mind, and it's going to ruin the country. I mean, he claims that he can stop Russia. War in Ukraine and World War III. Yeah, right. I mean, they believe all the bullshit. And I just can't understand. You want to shake them and say, wake up, listen. Look what's the facts, you know. Don't listen to this garbage. But
I have a little bit different take on, you know, having another so-called insurrection. the last few that have gone just last week, one was charged 17 years in prison, another charged 18 years in prison, and they're not even done with the cases of these insurrectionists. And they deserve to be, you know, they were pleaded down from about 30 years. One was 33 years, and they were pleaded down to 17 years and 18 years. Now, anyone is paying attention, you'll see, you'll know that if they try to do that again, the exact same thing will happen as far as them being arrested, and they'll be ready this time. This time, they're not going to be surprised. So that is why I think that people are going to definitely think twice before putting their neck out and their freedom and worrying about being put in prison, you know, arrested, you know, and put in prison for many years. Their lives are ruined. You have to remember that. You know, quite a few, I should have looked up how many are in, you know, prison already, but there are quite a few that are already in prison serving time for this man who is a traitor to our country. And I think people will think twice before they, you know, try to do something like that again. And once again, I think they will be ready this time. I really do. So I'm not really worried about that as much. I worry about, I am hoping that most people mail in their ballots. I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping that they don't go to the polls, you know, and vote in person. I hope that the states that can vote by mail do that, because I think intimidation will play a small part or a big part in the election this in 2024. I do believe. So if you're in a state where you can, you know, absentee ballot, where you can mail in your vote, do that. You know, that will be more secure for you, and your vote will be secure as well. That's how I feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the polling places and, you know, in the red states, how they're gerrymandering, they're making it harder for people to vote, they're closing polling places, making them wait in line for hours and hours, which is ridiculous. And, you know, I'm hoping that people come out and vote for, think about abortion rights and your voting rights and school rights, education rights, and come out in force, and climate change. Those are the big things that I think most people are for, and they got to show up. They got to vote. They got to get these idiots out of office. It just blows my mind. And I'm hoping that before all even getting on the ballot, that the 14th Amendment kicks in, that they cannot even put them on the ballot. That would be so nice.
Yes,
yeah,
a lot
Michigan
of states have been thinking about that and contemplating that and everything.
Yeah, and our attorney general as well. There's many states that are thinking. Florida, a lawyer in Florida was the first one to file, you know, paperwork for that. So that might catch on fire. You know, that might be something. Why I didn't think, you know, 6-8 months ago, I don't know. But, you know, better late than never. There's 400 days till the something like that.
Yeah, there were two famous, very famous, respected retired attorneys high up, and they made a presentation of the argument that could be made to keep them off of there. So that would be a good thing. God, that would calm everything down.
I mean, you know, ladies, listen, since there's so many bad news in the press lately and the news, I want to share something with you that, you know, women have a new form of birth control. And you know what that is? It's men wearing MAGA gear from head to toe. You know, that shit dries out once vagina in seconds. Yeah.
That's a turn off for sure.
A man, you know, wearing full Trump gear, and you're like, oh, my God. That's so not sexy. Yeah. So, you know, women's vaginas dry up. Especially when it's to Mitch McConnell's face when he freezes up, you know? Good Lord. Who would kiss that face?
But anyway, moving right along, the 14th Amendment was just discussed and everything, and I'm going to play a clip about 14 seconds or less about what the 14th Amendment is, and then we'll go on to a four-minute video about Trump supporters speaking about his fourth indictment. That will be enjoyable, I promise you. Here is the 14th Amendment.
So the question is, does Section 3 of the 14th Amendment apply to President Trump in the sense that it bars people who have committed sedition from holding office in the United States? Putting aside the question of whether President Trump actually committed sedition or not, the 14th Amendment, this particular clause, was enabled to prevent members of the Confederacy from holding office in the federal government again. And for better or worse, this section of the 14th Amendment has almost never been used because almost as soon as Congress passed it, they granted a waiver to almost everyone that served for the South in the Civil War. And there are tons of open questions in terms of whether this is self-executing, whether you actually have to hold a trial. And we just don't know the answer to these questions right now. So,
So there you have it. We don't know the question, answers to the question, no, because it's never been used, it's never been enforced. But hopefully it will be enforced because Donald Trump led an insurrection, inspired an insurrection, and according to Section 3, Amendment 14, he is unable to run again. So hopefully all the states from coast to coast and everywhere in between, well, we know the red states not going to do it because, you know, they're beholden to Trump and kiss Trump's ass and everything. But the blue states are seriously contemplating it. And I hope good sense prevails because Donald Trump should not be anywhere near the White House as president ever again. So these confused Trump supporters were left tongue-tied. The Young Turks spoke to them recently and asked them a series of questions and everything. And, you know, all they do is yell. And when they think they yell over you, they think they're winning the argument. Somebody was going to ask something. Okay, so I'm going to play. I'm going to play the clip.
There's really any such thing as a gay community? Because in the Bible, it says in Romans 1 why people fall into perversion. And, like, you should all just thank a straight person that we're all here today on the earth and that we can all be friends.
You know, and look at the people that want to oppress this LBGQ or whatever the heck it is, all these transgenders and gays. And, you know, I don't believe in all that crap. That's just... You know,
if somebody was, you know, so an American who was born gay thinks that the presidency matters and their issues matter, what would you say to that that person?
They need to read the Bible. They need to read the Bible. Ain't but one thing you can believe and trust in this world today, and that's God's word.
Tell me what MAGA means.
Well, America was certainly great when we valued the nuclear family and family values.
And you think that Trump espouses that? I mean, we'll take him as an example. He's been married at least three times anyway that I can think of. What makes him the mouthpiece for all the things that you care about?
I would say that compared to what the Democrats have to offer, I think that he is the best. He is the better of the candidates to espouse that kind of thinking, as opposed to transgenderism and you know, different gender identities, et cetera, things like that.
To think that a child of 5 or 6 can determine that they want to be a boy because they're a girl, or they're a girl and they want to be a boy, and that the state or wherever they're living has the right to put them through transformation or transition.
That's misinformation right there. In all states, whether red or blue, you know, you have to be 18 years old to make the decision. And before that decision is made, you have to go through a whole series of counseling. So this MAGA woman have no idea what she's talking about. Let's listen more.
And the parents don't have a say. Now, that's not legal in all places.
I was going to say, that's not happening. That isn't happening. I mean, like, there are people talking about it, but there's no sort of political movement to make it happen for 5 and 6-year-olds.
Oh, yeah? What was the recent pride events? What were they?
Pride events was gay pride. But it's been.
And the transgender didn't enter into the picture at all? Have you seen their new flag?
Sure. Transgender has nothing to do with 5 and 6-year-olds. I mean, but if you're born gay in America, you should be able to have
Do whatever you want, but don't destroy the children. I'm just saying that's one part of the agenda.
Oh, don't destroy the children.
I'm not a big fan
of people like her,
right,
and the people who support for, rape little children. You get what I'm saying? They've been put behind bars and have to register as sex offenders because they have sex with these little children, these pastors, these preachers, these politicians. My God, what is she talking about? This is not Democrats' fault and everything.
You have just listened.
And one don't choose to be gay. They were born that way.
Yes.
Did you notice that when he corrected her and he told her over and over that this is not being done, nobody is forcing parents, nobody is forcing children, that it's not law and it's not being done, she absolutely did not want to hear it because some idiot Lord is being done. They're brain dead.
Yeah, they are. You just listened to a woman, actually the other ones as well, but she was the worst one, that are all brainwashed, basically brainwashed. And, they're the perfect example of what we're fighting against in this country, the ignorance that we're fighting in this country. They do not hear when you're trying to talk sense to them. They don't hear it. They don't.
Mm-hmm. And it's less than 1% of the population in the whole United States. And I think they were saying that there's 4 transgender kids in the state of Michigan. So, wow, they're taking over, right? What a bunch of baloney.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we'll have
the Bible. They always quote the Bible. Who the hell wrote the Bible? Mm-hmm. Some humans?
Yeah,
it's not law.
The Bible
it's
and
a belief,
the Bible
and you can't force it on other people. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, and the misquote the Bible a lot.
Religious history where they castrated the young boys so that they would keep their beautiful tenor voices.
Yeah.
Yeah. They seem to have they don't read the whole thing, do they?
No.
Take
away abortion, so little 10-year-old girls that are raped by priests or ministers or their uncles can't get they have to deliver a baby at 10 years old. Give me a break.
Yeah, exactly. So halfway through this thingamajig by the Young Turks asking Trump supporters, MAGAs, about, different subjects. So we'll roll on.
BTQ, I think they're garnering a lot of attention that is unwarranted. I mean, they're 1% of the population. So why are we reaching out and doing all this for 1% of the population?
I guess because it's 1% of the population.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so like if my brother was born gay, I would want him to have all the rights.
I mean, I've got no problem if you're gay and you want to wear a dress or whatever, that's your business. But it doesn't need to be everybody else's business.
What is it about Trump's style that you like?
He doesn't put up with anything. He stands firm in the belief. He loves America. It's like, how can somebody be there for everyone? But he manages to get around and to different little towns just like this and make everybody, he powers people up.
What do you like about Donald Trump?
I like a guy that wants us to be free and, our economy and everything that he did for us.
So are the improvements that the Biden administration has made in
the
economy, have those affected you yet?
Yeah, they've hurt my bank account.
But I'm talking about sort of the inflation going down, some cost of living prices going down. Does that register with you?
I'm not sure it is going down. I mean, everything you see, they say it's going down, but I don't believe it.
Well, I'm just talking about the indexes that we have always followed as a country that Republicans and Democrats and everyone in between follows. Those are trending in a direction that's favorable jobs and all of that. So I'm wondering if you felt that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he just contradicted what he was saying when the person asked him, you know, trends are going down, inflation going down, and what have you, the stimulus starting to work. You know, so these people are dumb, as Elaine and Susie were saying. You know, these people are so freaking dumb. You cannot talk to these people, especially if you're a Christian. My God, Christians are the worst set, you know? And a lot of quoting the Bible, but yet still they share with the Bible. They misquote the Bible, especially the King James Version, you know, who, you know, subdued women and sell their children in slavery as debt. You know, little things like that, you know. And I could go on with different examples, but, you know, you get what I'm saying. So these Republicans are sick. They need to be voted out of office. They have no business being in office. And they love talking about how big the government is. You know, so if government is big and too big, don't run for office, Republicans. Stay home. Nobody likes you. Nobody wants you in government.
Either one of you, David or Lori, do you know the answer to this question? The people, even if they've got like 6 months sentence for the insurrection, have they lost their right to vote because it's a federal crime?
Well, that's a good question.
That's a good question.
I would think.
It depends on the state, really.
Yeah,
I would
probably
think they would, but I'm not sure.
Which I'm going to have to research it for you, Elaine. Sure.
I never heard that question asked on any of the news programs or answered. They never talked about that.
We don't have to worry about it.
Interesting.
They're going to be in prison 18 years, 17 years, 14 years, 10 years, 4 years, 7 years.
Yeah, but there were some sentences that were, you know, like, they were like anywhere from 3 months to 6 months to 18 months. Would those people also fall under the guidelines of not being able to vote?
Yeah. I would think that they should not be able to vote, but who knows? You know, we'd have
because
to really...
You know, because they were charged with an insurrection and found guilty of an insurrection.
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
and
what I said, you know, it depends on the state rule and the state laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
wouldn't that be
some
a
of them
law?
Are just not easy.
It's a federal law, I think, that they were all charged on. Federal law, because it was federal court that brought them to trial. We have the messing around with the voting thing that was in the states like Georgia, Michigan, Arizona, and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this insurrection was under federal law. So you got to figure, they had a big lawyer bill, for sure. They go to prison. They charge you for going to prison. You got to figure they maybe lost their jobs, and their families have got to be embarrassed, sick that they were, you know, tried and everything. So it's a little deeper than just going to jail, and they deserve it.
Better believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope the other idiots think about that first before they do anything stupid.
Yeah.
Okay, I found something there. The question is, can some felons from the January 6th insurrection still vote? And the answer is yes. Some people convicted of felonies from January 6th insurrection can still vote, but it depends on what state they live in.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. And
I would have thought that would be
a mandated
law.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, estimate nearly 6 million Americans have lost their right to vote because of criminal conviction. So the right to vote is overseen by both federal and state governments, but only states have rules restricting felons from the ballot box. So where a person lives ultimately dictates whether their right to vote will be revoked because of a felony conviction. So Maine, Vermont, and the District of Columbia do not take away the voting rights of felons, even while they are incarcerated, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures, or NCFL, each jurisdiction confirms felons can vote while incarcerated in Maine,
in Vermont and in the District of Columbia. In Puerto Rico, the residents there also have no voting restrictions based on criminal conviction, according to the Campaign Legal Center nonprofit watch group. All other 48 states in the United States disenfranchise at least some people convicted of felonies while they are in prison. But the disqualification to vote doesn't necessarily extend to when a person is released from prison. The NCSL says 37 states restore the voting rights of people convicted of felonies once they are released from prison or after they serve their full sentences, including parole and probation. And in 11 other states, there are more requirements that need to be met before people convicted of felonies can vote again, according to the NCSL. Some states have an additional waiting period for after sentences completion and other requiring additional actions, such as governor's pardon. So should we look at the 37 states that restore voting rights? Yeah.
Well, if you're in Florida and you have DeSantis as your governor and they give you application to vote again after you get out of prison, then he turns around and jails you for voting.
Mm-hmm.
That might not apply, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Remember what he did? He arrested all those people that thought they could vote because they got the application in the mail.
Yep.
Yeah, and guess what? There are minorities. There are black people and brown people.
For sure.
You notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That's disgusting.
See, I'm still hoping that there is something that supersedes the states on a federal crime of insurrection. That's what
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping.
Because,
you know, a felony can be a B&E. It can be... beating your wife, beating your husband, that type of thing. The insurrection is a different type of felony.
Mm-hmm.
This is a crime against your nation. And I am hoping that somewhere in there that would supersede any state's rights.
I think so, too, because, you know,
it probably will, because it didn't happen since the Civil War, and that's why they're talking about the 14th Amendment. I mean, no president ever tried to do this. This is like never happened before. I mean, the whole world is looking at this trial and everything. The asshole's got to go, that's all. He can't be on the ballot. And all his followers.
Same thing.
Pardon?
They saw how much Trump got away with it, and that now who's doing the same damn thing? They've been protesting in Israel, 14 days in a row?
Yeah, and I just read a thing about Germany that one of the prime minister, where is that? Okay, Bavaria. The prime minister refuses to fire his deputy for free vote on the free vote party for making anti-Semitic writings and political ads. And, you know, it's coming back. The fascists are coming back in the United States and Germany and Italy.
Mm-hmm.
They're everywhere. It's scary.
Yep.
Yeah, and do you know that in Florida today they had a Nazi rally, a Nazi parade and a rally? In Florida. Where exactly in Florida? In Orlando, Florida, to be exact.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, and their main slogan was saying, "We are everywhere." So, you know, in the armed forces, in the police force, you know, in all spheres of life, you know, the neo-Nazis are there. So there is a problem in the United States of MAGA supporting lunatics in places of power that have weapons like guns. And you know what the neo-Nazis are about: killing minorities, killing gays, hating on women, not giving women rights, you know. So if Trump gets in there,
and they're just using Trump as a clown head, you know, I can't even call him a figurehead, but he's the excuse to give them power for their, you know, neo-Nazi beliefs.
Yeah, because Trump is too stupid. you know, to be a fascist leader of any type. You know, Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, he reversed a practice put in place by his predecessor, Ralph Northam, a Democrat, and began requiring individuals to apply for rights restoration to vote once they have a felony. Compared to New Mexico, which recently passed in 2023, House Resolution 4, restoring voting rights to citizens on parole. So again, New Mexico, Democratic Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, doing a great job, compared to Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, who, you know, different requirements by different states. Minnesota, in 2023, passed House Bill 28, or HF 28, Restoring Voting Rights to Citizens on Parole. Compared to Tennessee, the Supreme Court issued a ruling requiring felons to get their voting rights restored by a judge or provide evidence that they were pardoned. You know, so Tennessee, red state, Minnesota, blue state. So, again, it depends on where in the United States you are. If you're in a red state, then it's more harder for you to get your voting rights restored. And with Florida, the mix-up with Florida is that they're trying to get a lot of black people and brown people off the ballot. And that mix-up, an intentional mix-up where they send people, you know, to register and then they vote, direct them, you know, it's like smokes and mirrors, as they have no policies to run on. And they say, oh, geez, look at that, immigrants, illegal, or felons, that. You know, it's like they're constantly gaslight things and not focusing on issues that matter, like jobs, housing, healthcare, education, things like that. You know, so Republicans are barren of ideas. Democrats want to stay focused on message and hopefully in American people, whether in blue state or red state, you know, that puts in perspective to show how Republicans are barren and they're lost. They're completely gone, the far side. But I digress.
No, you don't. You know, the Republicans, I mean, look what they did to Hillary Clinton, all the trials on Benghazi and all that, and all the bullshit about her phone texts and things, compared to what Trump has done and his followers. It doesn't even make any sense. And then they go after Biden's kid, the drug addict, when they look at what Kushner, you know, $2 billion from the Saudis, and they don't look into that?
They're starting to investigate.
I know, they're starting. I'm hoping they hurry up.
It's slow, but they are starting. I have another question from Wolf in Alabama, another comment, I should say. He wants to know, what does everyone think about Trump and his cronies gaslighting everyone who's bringing the indictment? They are publicly setting out to intimidate public officials. Should the court issue a gag order, the street theatrics could come to a head. I think that they are, in my opinion, I think that they are all listening, paying attention, and they're probably going to give him enough rope to hang himself. And eventually we'll probably either have to, you know, go sit in a jail cell or have a gag order, because he doesn't know how to control himself. He has no self-control whatsoever.
The only good thing about it, he keeps on incriminating himself all over the place. So they're letting him, you know, go ahead, talk, but when he starts calling people to attack the judges and the prosecutors,
That's wrong. That's
got to stop. But the other, you know, the other crap he spills, you know, he's just hanging himself on his Truth Social and all that other stuff.
You know, and then we have another one, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has just put out a threat to the Republicans. To her own party, mind you. I don't know who this woman thinks she is. I truly don't understand. She has got herself so built up in her own mind that she is superwoman, that she's uncatchable? Really? So what she's warned her Republican colleagues against breaking from the party when it comes to impeaching Joe Biden, threatening to bring back her
combative persona if they do so. We should be voting on this in September, Green told cable channel Real America Voice on Tuesday. If we don't, you're going to see the Marjorie Taylor Greene you've always known, because I will not be able to take it. Congress is preparing to return to Capitol Hill next week, and one of the first things on the Republicans' agenda is to impeach Biden. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has been increasingly receptive to the idea of bringing an impeachment vote to the House floor. On Sunday, he called it the natural step forward in response to the Republican-led investigations into the Biden and his family. What in God's name do they have against that?
Nothing. They don't have anything.
Yeah, because if I had anything by that, that is shorted by
She's using that argument, and she said, well, if you don't get to Biden, then I'm not voting for the budget. So they're going to close down all the military, all the government because of the bullshit.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But my point is that how can this one woman, this evil bitch, and that's what I'm going to call her because that's exactly what she is. She is so full of herself that she thinks that she's untouchable. Well, this is the same woman that texted Mark Meadows in the insurrection. This is the same woman that's probably running scared. That is why she wants to do all these things to take attention off of the fact that she might get indicted.
You gotta say,
if she did nothing wrong, if Marjorie Taylor Greene did anything wrong, why was she on Matt Gaetz and others asking for a presidential pardon, you know?
That's right.
Rudy Giuliani was selling presidential pardons for $2 million a pop. If they did nothing wrong, why the presidential pardons? That's so ridiculous. That's so insane. That's crazy.
You got to think that she's being paid off by maybe Russia, China. They want to put, you know, a major wrench in our government, and they're giving her money. She never saw this kind of money she's getting now from big corporations and dark money. So they're she's doing whatever they want. She don't give a crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about money and power, and that's what she's doing. I mean, she's over the doorknob.
Monique Lee had her loan forgiven. That to me is two-tiered.
Yep. Oh, God,
Her PPP loan, You're absolutely right.
Hey, quick question before we move on. What do you think of Marjorie Taylor Greene if Donald Trump or, God forbid, any Republican who get a nomination choose Marjorie Taylor Greene as a running mate? First of all, is that even possible?
They'll lose real quick.
Yeah, no. She's not liked. I really believe that this woman is disliked by even her colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
She's just got a big mouth, and her voice is bellowing, and she thinks, and she's intimidating to them. She thinks she's intimidating, but I don't think she is. Mm-hmm. I think that she's... I can't tell you what I think she is, but
yeah, you know what? You know who Marjorie Taylor Greene remind me of? A bad transitioning of Dog the Bounty Hunter and a transvestite. Yeah, that's what Hoshin looks. You know, no offense to any transvestites out there listening, but she's such a gross human being.
And we
thought I was the only one that thought that.
Yeah,
she urged Mark Meadows to tell the then president lawmakers were pushing him to impose martial law in the wake of the Capitol riot. This is what CNN reported. In our private chat with only members, several are saying the only way to save a republic is for Trump to call martial law. Green had texted to the top Trump aide, apparently misspelling martial law.
Yeah.
I have to laugh at that one.
They're not really good fellas. They're dumb. These people are stupid. I don't know why nobody took them seriously.
Yeah.
I feel Marjorie Taylor Greene is mentally ill. She's delusional beyond belief and unbelievably supported by her voters.
in a germ-minded community, in our constituency district. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, as somebody said online in a message to me, Margarita in New Mexico, that, you know, we're living in insane times. And Marjorie mm-hmm. Taylor Greene is mentally ill. She's sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has no business in Congress because she don't know what she's doing. She, half the time she don't know what she's saying. She's talking about, Jewish space lasers, you know, that wreaking havoc and the climate and everything. I mean, what the hell? What is happening in America?
What is happening is the rich and powerful want to control all of our government. They don't want any controls on they're jacking up the prices like gas, pharmaceuticals, mm-hmm. and all that. They want to give the money to the politicians so they keep voting in their favor, you know, turning back regulations on pollution and horrible things that the big factories and stuff do, and imports, exports, all that kind of stuff. They want the power, mm-hmm. and they're willing to do anything, and they brainwash mm-hmm. these idiots to think that, it's all about, right supremacy, and that poor little queer kid over there is going to take over our government. Yeah, right. No, mm-hmm. they are. Mm-hmm. They want to take over our country.
Are the immigrants coming to take a job?
Those poor people we make work in the hot sun, don't give them water to drink, they're going to take over the country, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Yeah. Look at what's happening in Florida now, where the DeSantis signed that insane law put through by the state legislature, both the Senate and the House of Florida, which is dominated by Republicans, a majority. And he signed that bill. So what's happening now is people leaving Florida in the construction mm-hmm. department, picking fruit and everything. The fruits are being rotten, getting rotten and everything. So regular Americans will take jobs like those, you know, in terms of picking fruit like apple and oranges and what have you, and it's rotting, and it's devastating Florida's economy, but yet still, it's immigrants' fault. This is how stupid Republicans and their voters are. You know, why does Florida keep electing thieves, crooks, liars, cheats, morons? If somebody could answer that genuinely, you know, I give them all the money I have in the world right now because Republicans are just evil. It's disgusting.
Isn't Florida highly gerrymandered, though, also?
Yes, it is. Very gerrymandered.
Yes, because before the 2020 election.
Yeah. Didn't DeSantis overturn all these laws and the prosecutors? He fired the Secretary of States and the Attorney Generals just so he can mm-hmm. rewrite everything and gerrymander everything.
Yeah, pretty much, because three congressional districts that were the court's rule was not constitutional because it favored Republicans heavily. And, you know, DeSantis ignore that completely and, you know, sign an executive order saying that, you know, these three congressional districts are legitimate and Republicans want an extra three seats to make up their majority. And even though courts are no, that's wrong, DeSantis has said what he wants to do because, hey, he's Ron DeSantis, he's governor, you know, he's a top ship. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to hell with what the justice system say and what the court system rule. You know, this is a typical mm-hmm. Republican behavior. And, you know, if people can't sit through this, that the Nazis and Mussolini did this, you know, it's happening here on American soil, then I don't know what to tell you. God help you. Because as soon as a dictator come into this country, you know what will happen? Just like how Hitler and Mussolini took over as dictators, the first thing they go after is your guns. Democrats are not after your guns. They don't give a goddamn about taking guns away from you. What Democrats mm-hmm. and progressives want is more responsibility from gun owners. Imagine, just recently, was it Tennessee where a four-year-old girl was minding her business and a family friend, this woman who's 25 years mm-hmm. old, was teaching this four-year-old child mm-hmm. how to shoot and protect yourself using a gun. Mm-hmm. And you know what this idiotic 25-year-old woman did? Shoot the kid right in the chest. A four-year-old.
Yeah, she killed her.
I mean,
she was her gun.
Poor child. She was playing with dolls or something.
Yeah.
Leave a child. Make a child be a child growing up. Why?
Yes.
Why is she? It's not your child. It's not your relative. Why are you showing a four-year-old girl how to use a goddamn gun?
Yep.
You know, self-protection. She's four. She don't know. She don't know the difference between love and hate. You know about guns, and she want to play with her dolls. She want to be a kid. But no, you're stupid ass. Where you teach her, you know, to shoot gun and load gun and what have you. And instead of pointing the gun down, like that's the first thing in gun school when you're being taught is, you know, load a weapon so it don't go off by accident and shoot somebody. And this idiot 25-year-old person, was it Tennessee? Shoot the poor 4-year-old kid right in the chest, killing her. She's under arrest,
yeah,
and she'll be charged for murder, first-degree murder. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, my question is, why was the gun loaded if she was teaching gun safety to this child?
And why to a 4-year-old? Come on.
They teach
it in Boy Scouts and summer camp, little BB gun things, but they have instructors. The kids they're taught safety. And then when they get older, for hunting safety and how to store the guns, you never store it loaded. You never aim it at anybody. You have to be registered. They should not have automatic war weapons anywhere. They went and reversed that law. Nobody shouldn't own a machine gun. There's no reason for it. And then you should have your background check. You need to have licenses. You got to be trained in it, and you have to store them safely. That's what it used to be. And now we have all these poor people getting massacred all the time, every day, because of the damn gun lobby. They want to make money and take over everything. You know, it's just disgusting.
Yeah,
there is no Republican Party. That's a fascist party. There is none.
Is.
You watch TV. All these former Republicans are on TV all the time talking against them. I mean, high-level Republicans. Nobody wants to be involved with that party at all. There is no Republican Party. It's a joke.
It's a fascist party.
I've got a new idea. I've got a new idea in talking about gun reform. When we had an epidemic of people getting behind the wheel, and I'm talking about an epidemic, driving drunk and mad, women against drunk drivers came out and started their campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
The automobile industry did not buck them. They did not lobby them. They let them go. And I think that we ought to start hammering the same way on guns and tell the gun manufacturer to back off, to get off our backs. They'll still sell guns. But we need some reform in this country.
Oh, for sure. Of course.
Now, the comparison is the next time we get in an argument with somebody who is a gun zealous, the mad, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, they did their thing, and it didn't destroy the automobile industry, did it?
No, it didn't.
Of course. No, they made safety belts. That's what they did, safety belts. But, you know, thing is that when it comes to guns, we have the NRA and lots of money that's funded. I think the Mothers Against Drunk Driving hit a different core because the big three, you know, they're not a lobby group. You know, they're not a horrible organization like the NRA. The NRA has showed us that they do not have a heart or a soul when it comes to
Isn't it the gun manufacturers that are backing the NRA?
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Okay. Well, the automobile industry did not back the liquor industry, did they?
No,
they sat back and let nature take its course for safety.
Yes. But that's not happening.
I know it's not. So this is another way we can approach it. We can tell them, back off. If the automobile industry could back off,
and they're not national, they're international, so can the gun industry. They can back off.
Well,
I think it's time we start playing hardball.
They bought off most of Congress, including Green. That's one of her bigger contributors. Yeah, that's why. They bought them off.
The other thing is the narrative over and over and over and over for 40 years. 40 years, all I have heard is the Democrats are coming after your guns. After a while, it's no different than Tokyo Rose during the war telling the GIs that they were doomed.
Yeah, brainwashed.
It's propaganda. They repeated it over and over and over. Well, we got to start learning to repeat it over and over and over. I think there was a woman I came in contact with talking to people to get them to listen. I don't know how many different ways I had to explain to her that what American made means. And that's something simple.
Yeah.
Okay. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, my Lord. I don't know what the hell happened.
Oh, gee.
I guess I hit the mute button.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
probably
Lord.
Did it.
Anyway.
Accident.
Okay, yeah.
So.
Go ahead.
I was going to talk about the Alabama Attorney General. I sent you that article, David. His name is, the Attorney General of Alabama, a Republican. His name is Steve Marshall. And he's speaking to members of the press after the oral argument of Merrill versus Milligan case at the Supreme Court on October 4th of 22. And the Supreme Court heard an oral argument of the case that challenges whether the new congressional map of Alabama violates Voting Rights Act. That's what he started with. But his new thing is that he is going to do a court filing where he wants to have the right, he wants to have people who make travel arrangements for pregnant women to have out of abortions. Now, these people have no boundaries, do they? They have no boundaries. I mean, it says, in court Monday, Attorney General Steve Marshall wrote that providing transportation for women in Alabama to leave the state to get an abortion could amount to criminal conspiracy. They're
I mean,
so full of shit.
Honestly,
I'm sorry, but they are.
Yep.
And you know what? That same guy, if his daughter was raped or got pregnant as a teenager, he would drive her across the line or fly her out of state to get an abortion. You know that.
He would definitely fly her out of state. There is no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt.
They're such hypocrites.
They are beyond hypocrites. And who do they think they are? This is what people have to understand in this country, because I don't know. I don't know if there's some people that are just under a cloud, because if these people get the power that they want in the next election, this is what we'll be fighting every single day. Every single day, a raped young lady that does not want to have that child in Alabama cannot be driven across state lines to go get an abortion. She have to carry that child if she was raped or incest, or if she doesn't even want the child, if it was a mistake or whatever her case is, you know?
I just read in the paper about an African country, I don't remember exact name, Uganda or something, that they're releasing women that been in jail serving 100-year sentence for getting abortions. They finally decided that that's not right, that most of them have been raped. And they went, tried to get rid of the baby because they had no ways to support it or anything, and they sent them to prison. So even that backward country is reversing it. And we're doing this? You got to be kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They did not get rid of the baby. They got rid of a fetus.
Exactly.
I mean,
and they keep on saying, they abort to the 9 months. Bullshit. It never happens. Not unless the mother's dying.
Who wants to have their rapist baby? Seriously. You know, it's a gift from God, according to that Missouri Republican who ran for the Senate 8 years ago against Kermit Castillo. These people are fucking insane. Stop voting for madness, people. You know?
Exactly. And you know,
I was trying to make a rant before Block Talk Radio muted me, and I'm going to make a rant again. This stupid asshole in Tennessee, a 25-year-old woman, was teaching a 4-year-old child how to load a gun, how to defend herself with a gun. At 4 years old, this poor child don't have any sense yet, can barely speak, much less. And you know what happened? This poor 4-year-old got shot in the chest and died. Now this 25-year-old is being arrested and charged for first-degree murder. Now tell me, if you are the mother of that child, I'm sorry, if I were a parent of that child, I'd fucking kill that 25-year-old woman. She had no business teaching a 4-year-old how to shoot a gun and defend herself with a gun.
Yeah, in the article, they did not say how this woman was, if she was an aunt or a mother, they didn't say. You know, they just said that she was teaching her gun safety, okay, with a loaded
it's
gun.
It's ridiculous. Even the smallest pistol is heavy. The poor little thing couldn't even hold it.
And she was so never mind. It makes me want to cry.
So it's ridiculous.
Back to Alabama for a second. Alabama has the strictest abortion bans in the country. In the wake of the Dobbs Supreme Court decision last summer, several Republican-led states passed anti-abortion laws, while several others, including Alabama, that had passed so-called trigger laws, anticipating an eventual Roe versus Wade, saw their new restrictions go into effect. So, Alabama, I'm sorry, you need to do some good voting. You know,
and they're putting women at risk that are trying to have a baby, but something goes wrong with that baby and it has to be aborted. But they rather the mother die too, you know, for medical reasons. You know, they really want the kid, but they weren't raped or anything, which, you know, they should be able to get an abortion. But even somebody that needs it to save their lives of the mother, you know, and the baby's all deformed or many things wrong with it. They can't get, they got to deliver it. Does that make sense?
No. And from a listener in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Margarita, she said a real danger in America are these right-wing extreme Republicans and their sway of sexual obsession with guns. There was a comedic turn video asking the question if brown and black people in volume showed up with guns at every event, just like the white redneck gun nuts, just watch how fast they'd argue for gun control. And I think Marguerite has a good point, you know?
Yeah.
You know, white people, look what happened in Michigan. Look what happened in Michigan where they went to the state capitol with guns, loaded guns, you know? Talking about revolution and all that.
And military vests, bulletproof vests and all that, and machine guns, not even pistols, machine guns. Yeah, that she's absolutely right.
Yep.
People were dying of COVID, and they were protesting with guns. I mean, you know, it really makes sense, doesn't it? And the Democrats are extreme? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Now
we got to see what they're going to be doing. COVID's coming back. They got a new strain. It's not going to be pretty. They're already talking about down in Detroit hospitals. There's increase in hospitalizations and deaths and down south more. We haven't gotten up here yet, but there are increases, and everybody needs to be vaccinated. But heaven forbid if they tell you to do it, right?
Yeah.
So Kentucky governor won't commit to appointing a Republican if McConnell resigns or dies in office. Martha Beshear, he is the current governor of Kentucky, and you know, we're all saw what happened a second time when he freeze right in front of TV in front of a press conference. And, you know, Mitch McConnell is in decline, basically. And if he dies in office, the governor, you know, has a right to appoint whomever he sees fit to hold that office. Currently, Beshear is a Democrat in Kentucky. Why would a Democratic governor install a Republican in that seat if McConnell dies or resigns or incapacitated? You know, the Republicans, yeah, the Republicans want to have the cake and eat it too. You know, they don't get the right to dictate what Governor Beshear does. You know, so what's your take on it, Lori?
I think that if he can put in there, you know, he can replace McConnell with whomever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And he does not want to put a Republican in there that he feels is not up to the task, because we know how insane they are these days. He doesn't have to, you know, the governor of the state. As far as Mitch McConnell goes, there's something wrong with him. And, you know, when I think about it, and we all know there's something wrong with him, and when you think about it, you know, you would think that his wife would maybe say, you know, maybe you should take a leave of absence or something. I mean, I just don't understand how you allow, you know, a family member, even maybe, does he have family? I don't know. Does he have any children, you know, young adult children that can, you know, say, you know, don't be going there. You need to rest or get medical help. And instead,
it's all political because they're afraid if McConnell is taken out of office, they have to put somebody else in there, and they want to keep it a Republican. That's why. Because he can be replaced, but he won't be the head of the Senate.
Yes,
they'll replace him, and that's why they want him to sit there until the new election.
Think about it. It's
same with Brian, what's her name in California? Feinstein?
Feinstein.
Diane Feinstein, yeah.
Yeah. Same thing with her. They're afraid to pull him out right now because then they're afraid they're going to lose the power because it's so close in the Senate right now. So that's why they're doing it, and it's ridiculous.
But the thing is, in California is almost 90% blue and Democrats. You know, if Dianne Feinstein dropped down tomorrow dead, then we'll have Adam Schiff, we'll have Katie Porter, we'll have other Democrats who can are willing and able to fill that seat and win the seat easily. But in Kentucky, that's a different case because for the last two election cycles, polls show, that's why you can't really trust polls. Polls show that McConnell is down 10 to 13 points in each of those races, but yet still, he pulled a 2 to 3 point win over his Democratic opponents. Why is that? You know, anybody try and investigate how, you know, you move from 10 to 13 points behind, you know, like 4 or 5 days before the election and win 3 to 4 points? That's just madness. Something cuckoo about that, really. And I want to ask a serious question. I want to ask a serious question for a moment. Do you think we will try Trump as an adult? I'm asking for a friend.
What was that?
Do you think that we'll try Donald Trump will try it as an adult in Georgia?
As an adult?
Yeah. He's such a petulant child.
He doesn't act like one, but he will. He's a man child.
Yeah.
Spoiled brat.
A total asshole, douchebag.
Yeah. Going back for a moment to Governor Beshear, he was asked if McConnell were to step down, would he choose a replacement from one of the three nominees selected by the state Republican Party, as the statute requires? He said there is no Senate vacancy. Beshear responded, Senator McConnell said he's going to serve out his term, and I believe him. I'm not going to speculate about something that hasn't happened and isn't going to happen. So that's interesting as well. So the Republicans are basically chomping at the bit. That's what it sounds like to me.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
For him,
they want the power.
So they can put in who knows who. I'm afraid to know who. You know?
And, you know, all this is power of money, and the power of money was given to them by our Supreme Court. That's
mm-hmm.
when it all went to shit, because they said
mm-hmm.
corporations are people, too, and they can give as much as they want. So our Congress
mm-hmm.
is bought and paid for. That's why we're in this mess.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. We're definitely in
yeah,
a tizzy.
Overturn Roe versus Wade. Yeah, you know, they are overturning things that we had and we fought for so long, you know.
Well,
and it's just, I can't recognize them anymore. I mean, what the hell?
I truly
mm-hmm.
believe
mm-hmm.
all of this is going to backfire. I mean, from everything that I've been reading and watching and listening to, there are a lot of pissed off people, but you have to remember, usually the ones with the biggest mouth are the ones that are the ones with the biggest mouth are the usually the ones that do nothing. The silent ones are the ones that are doing the work. I never go around and tell anyone how I voted or how I vote or how I will vote unless it's someone that I would trust and have a solid conversation with. So I think that because of this era that we're in right now where you really don't want to talk politics to people, and I don't know about you guys, but I know that I can't talk to certain people about certain things. And so I'm quiet about what I'm going to do. And I think there's other people out there that have had problems with their family because they supported Trump and the other ones did not. And hopefully the people that supported, the family members that did support Trump, are now seeing what he's done and what he's doing to the country, how divided it is, and they quietly and silently vote blue. That's my hope. That the silent
majority.
And
I really think the women are going to save us. The women are going to go show up like they have in Michigan and other states, and they're
mm-hmm.
going to save us. They're going to fight for their rights.
Gen Z, don't ever forget about them. The ones
who
can vote will save us. The young millennials will save us. There is no doubt, because they are going for the jugular for them, which is abortion, climate change. They want, you know, better wages. And what else is there? There's one more thing.
Well, our economy, you know, they screwed it up. I mean, the interest rates are so high, kids can't afford a car or a house nowadays.
Yeah.
And school is so
mm-hmm.
freaking expensive. I mean, they're against the waterfall flood of and then the only thing Republicans say, it's all Biden's fault. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything's Biden's fault. The high gas prices that he cannot control. And,
You know, the other thing is we have to remember college debt is a thing, because the President Biden was trying to have that forgiveness, the $20,000. And that really gave a lot of hope to a lot of these college students, because a lot of them
mm-hmm.
are leaving college and they are buried in debt. And, you know, they have their job,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't pay enough for them to live and to pay off their debt. And
exactly.
the interest rate be done about that, because it keeps mounting and mounting and mounting. So that
mm-hmm.
is the other reason these college students are going to vote blue. I truly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear the latest thing that Biden's doing, raising the overtime on managers from $39,000 a year to $53,000 a year. If you make that much, you can get overtime, which you know, as a manager, you're on salary,
mm-hmm.
so they can make you work,
mm-hmm.
you know, 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So those people are going to get overtime wages, which is going to help them a lot. And that was Biden.
Mm-hmm.
He just did that.
I've got a question here about this about student loans.
Yeah.
Why in the hell are we not going after the colleges? All day, all I have seen on TV are college football games with capacity crowds. And I understand that some of the ticket holders pay as much as $1,000 to be in a right place in that stadium. Why in the hell are the college fees so high? What are they doing with that money?
Oh, Elaine.
What in the hell are they doing with that money? And I watch one college game after another. In fact, I'm sitting in two rooms away, and I can see the TV from here. There has to be 300,000 people in the stadium.
Yeah.
Just at a dollar a piece.
Oh, yeah.
And we know that it's not a dollar a piece. And we also know there's beer being drank, and there's popcorn being eaten, and there's hamburgers being eaten, and a slice of pizza for $10.
And they
get the damn fees for the colleges out of sight.
Yeah.
Why in the hell isn't that being investigated?
Well, the thing is, Elaine, if they would share that
there's
money,
it's more than just the college cost. The other part of the college cost is why is the interest so damn high? Can't they take away the interest for these kids?
I know. They're 5 or 10%.
They should be paying. If they have to pay any interest, it should be maybe 1%. Come on.
Exactly.
I understand it's compounded like a credit card.
It is compounded. It's terrible.
What do they call predatory lending?
It's because private companies
finance
them. It's not the federal government.
Yeah, so
I mean, okay, fine. Help the ones out that already have this debt. But we got to stop it from where it starts.
Exactly.
I mean, give me a break. These colleges are making bucko bucks. What the hell are they doing with it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
I mean, I honestly and truly believe the ones that are really in debt from all this predatory lending and the exorbitant fees that they charge for these classes is ridiculous. They're already in trouble. They need help. If we can help Marjorie Taylor Greene with her damn loan for her business, we can help the kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And how come we're the only country that charges college kids to go to school when every other country pays for it? Kids go to school for free the first time around. If you're going to screw on and flunk out, it's on you. But the first crack at it, the government pays. All of Europe and other countries too, you know? But no, not us. No. Coaches make over $1 million, the coach, one season.
Yep.
Oh, man. You know?
It's crazy.
That's okay. Yep. But and the kids got to pay 5 to 10% on their loans. That's awful. That's because those are private banks that finance them, not the federal government. It's all a racket.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a racket just like the insurance industry.
Exactly.
One racket after another. I think that the insurance companies ought to be investigated also, but that's another show. But we're talking about the kids and their loans.
Yeah.
And this got me going because I'm sitting here looking at that stadium.
I know it's crazy.
I mean, come on, just hit a dollar a piece at 100,000 people.
I know.
Some of those tickets are going for $1,000. Because they're on the 1 yard line or some yard line that's supposed to be popular.
Or the box seats, the corporate corporate boxes.
Yeah, the corporate ones.
We have a listener that just sent in a comment or a question.
Oh, wait,
you broke
up. Start it again.
Okay. A listener in Germany just sent a question and a comment. College professor Luca from Germany has asked this question. Why has PPP loans for members of Congress forgiven, but student loans can't be forgiven? That's an excellent question, Professor Luca, because we have the same question here in this country, and we don't have the answer for it. The only thing that we can say is that Congress does what it wants. You know, if it wants to, forgive their student loans, God knows that that's what they do. And they do not want to give these college students a break. For whatever reason, they don't want to give them a break. And there's no other logical explanation.
They pass their own perks.
Yeah, it's terrible. Thank you, Luca, for the question. Does anyone else have a comment?
Yes. One from Denmark, and Bjorn, he's asking, why I'm trying to, like, cycle through the question here and everything. Oh, okay. The main question is, he's asking, why did professional athletes get PPP loans while everybody else was left to suffer who had businesses?
Once again, we cannot answer the question because we don't have the answer. And we are just as enraged and puzzled as you are. That's all I can say about it.
No. I have an answer for that. Brett Favre and people like what's his name? Tom Brady have millions of dollars from the NFL careers that didn't need any PPP loans. They got PPP loans. What did they do with it?
He did.
They bought yachts. They bought different things for themselves. And it got forgiven. Brett Favre going through a lawsuit now because he said it was supposed to go to some poor children, and he used money on himself. You know, no, isn't that a jailable offense? Is there an investigation going on?
Was it for a volleyball court or something for his daughter's
some
college?
Some volleyball court.
With his name on it?
Yeah, his daughter's school, volleyball. She played volleyball and everything, and it was supposed to be named after him. You know, so Brett Favre used money for different things. And Tom Brady used his PPP loans to buy a yacht. And it got forgiven. Now tell me, a working mom-and-pop shop who depend on PPP loans paid back, or some of them didn't even get a PPP loan and went under, the business went under. Is that fair to the working class?
It was just on the news that the feds are going to investigate it. There's billions of dollars that people scammed those loans for, you know, COVID and everything and the small businesses. So they're going after them. Trouble is the Republicans don't want to give the investigators and the courts enough money to do the investigation. So that's where they're at right now.
Yeah, so disturbing and disgusting, really. Yeah, thank you, Bjorn,
yeah, it's our
and
money,
Denmark,
right?
For that question.
Mm-hmm.
Say
it's
that
our
again?
Taxes.
Yeah, tax dollars at work. Had taxpaying money at work doing rubbish because, you know, you're a billionaire, you get PPP loan. It gets forgiven. Why? Because you can use it to buy private yachts and everything. It's disgraceful what is happening in this country. You know, look at Boebert. Boebert, for example, got a PPP loan, and, you know, it was all forgiven. Where did that goddamn money go, Lauren Boebert?
Yep.
You know, how can you serve one term so far? No, this is her second term, and she's one of the richest people in the Congress now, the entire Congress.
But
you know, she had shooters. She had shooters bar and restaurant with her husband that went belly up because it sucked so bad. The food was horrible. It poisoned people. She went out of business. She got sued everywhere. She got PPP loan. Where did the money go, Lauren Boebert? Where? Tell us. We want to know. But yes, did it get forgiven? God, I hope she loses in 2024. Yeah, I hope she loses. Her stupid-ass husband who showed his dick 16-year-olds in a bowling park. Yeah, I wish nothing good for the Boebert family. You know, they're talking about family values, and yet still an idiot 16-year-old, you know, knocked up this other girl who's, what, 16?
Yeah, okay.
Screw you, Lauren Boebert. You're a hypocrite. Fuck you, Republican Party. Oh,
yep.
Yeah, I vented. I feel good now.
Okay, 9 minutes left. Go ahead, Laura. We'll wrap up soon, but go ahead.
1 second. I have another comment from Margarita, and it goes back to the PPP loans. And she wrote, in the last two seasons of the show called Balkers by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, addresses a deep corruption of the NCAA, the NFL League, the student loan scandal. It's all a part of the stadium bullshit and what these colleges are doing with the money. It is a disgrace. And I agree with you, Margarita. And we could do probably a whole nother Blog Talk Radio show. We could do a whole show on this, probably.
Mm-hmm.
The corruption
mm-hmm.
in this country is astounding. It's astounding. If everyone would just do the right thing and quit being greedy, do you know how well this country and its people would be doing right now? Really great.
Yep.
Really well. So many ways. In so many ways. We wouldn't have starving, homeless people and children. If there wasn't
exactly.
So
it's visions of the 1920s all over again with the robber barons, you know?
Just
yeah, yeah.
It's
okay, so the last thing on the agenda tonight, because we have limited time, do you know that the Republican primary so far, the spending projected to approach or surpass $1 billion? I wonder if people have officially kicked off the campaign, not till after Labor Day. Imagine these eight candidates, plus Donald Trump, have spent $1 billion or more in pre-primary season. $1 billion. That's crazy. What can you do with $1 billion? You know, better health care, better education. You know,
pay off
stuff,
your lawyers.
No.
Pay off your lawyers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's that. Yep, yep.
And then you got the stupid people who buy the T-shirts with your face on it, you know, giving you money
mm-hmm.
to pay your lawyer fees.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, David, we have Eric on the line.
Okay, Eric is on the line. This has to be the last call. I'm on the 7 minutes left. Welcome, Eric. What's cooking tonight? What's up, man?
Hey, I'm surprising y'all again. I try to do my best to end the show with a bang, as I usually do.
Good. Go ahead.
So who all do we have here? We got Elaine or?
Elaine, Margarita.
Margarita.
Hey, good to be here with all of y'all again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
nice
so right
here.
Here's one thing
yes,
I actually missed most of the show, and I almost forgot about it because I actually got done doing a couple videos myself, and I heard one
mm-hmm.
of you mention something about the homelessness, and I, you know, kudos to Democratic governors like Gretchen Whitmer and Gavin Newsom for helping to get homelessness down. Of course, we need to eradicate homelessness completely. That's a huge problem that still has to be helped. One of the things that I would say, as I always talk about it, we have to continue to push the Biden-Harris administration, a lot of top Democrats to do, to get on board with more things. And the state of Massachusetts just approved of a free school lunch programs, along with eight other states, Maine, Michigan, California, Colorado, Illinois, a few others. And, you know, the thing about it is once we really put that out there and the Democrats really get that done across the board, the question to my Republicans is, How can Republicans argue against? There's no moral or proper or intelligently articulate argument against it because the kids deserve to be fed, and this is where a lot of money should be allocated towards.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't
mm-hmm.
know if that was ever. I don't know if
mm-hmm.
that was brought up in any of the shows, but I'm just kind of throwing this out here. That's another thing that I
mm-hmm.
feel that we should emphasize more.
Yeah.
Feed the kids in schools. You know, get more and more homeless people off the streets. The bill that they passed in Massachusetts is allocating money to helping with transportation, helping to fix the roads, and they just made community college free out there for those who are at least 25
mm-hmm.
and older. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
these are things that, you know, I'm assuming that this is probably far off from what you guys probably were talking about. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, but check this out now. Listen, you know, we just have under 4 minutes left and everything. We'll cover a lot. But my closing thing is, do you think that that states should have closed primaries only? Because I know some states have open primaries. Do you think it should be closed primaries, closed caucuses?
You know what? To tell you the truth, if I had to pick one or the other, I can understand the argument for the open primaries being a little bit more fair, only in the sense that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know that you have independent voters out there who would vote one party at the top of the ticket, they'll vote the other party down. Obviously, as Democrats,
mm-hmm.
we
mm-hmm.
want everybody to vote Democrat up and down the ticket. But, you know, to be an open primary means that you still have the choice to vote for whoever you want to in the primary, and then come general election time, the same thing. So as of now, I would kind of lean more towards the open primary because it just sounds like it's more fair. And I'm kind of basing that off of my own speculation and theoretical reasoning. I don't know if anybody here
mm-hmm.
has an argument against that. Does anybody here believe in closed primaries?
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Yeah, well, I know. Mixed reviews.
Are open primaries where you can cross over?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, because you can sabotage the other party. The Democrats can sabotage
mm-hmm.
the Republicans,
mm-hmm.
and the Republicans can sabotage
mm-hmm.
the Democrats. If a closed primary bothers a person, then get involved and get a person that you want to have their name on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen sabotage.
That has to be the last word from Elaine, because we'll run out of time and everything. We'll thank Eric, Elaine,
yes.
Susie,
Khalil,
and Margarita for calling in. We really appreciate it. And we're going
Good
to come
night.
Back tomorrow again with a brand new show. Good night, everybody. A brand new show tomorrow night between a rock and a hard place. That's the topic. So
mm-hmm.
I hope you can join us. Same time, same place. On Block Talk Radio for Kitchen Politics 123. Till then, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. on the West Coast. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Pickle from Michigan.
Yeah.
Everyone stay safe, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye now.
See you around.
We're leaving now with Bob Marley, Lick Some Mud.
Lick Some Mud, Lick Some Mud, Lick Some Mud. Whoa, whoa, Lick Some Mud, Lick Some Mud, Lick Some Mud. Whoa, whoa, I don't know what to do.
The Constitution does not decree the right to keep and bear arms. It says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The NRA believes that America's laws should be obeyed, and we will defend the right to bear arms by any means necessary. We will not be docile for our oppressors.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you're with the NRA?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there a problem?
No.
No, of course not.
The NRA thinks that everyone should have guns.
Yes, all my brothers should have guns. And we will not rest until we are roaming the streets heavily armed.
Absolutely. How many brothers do you have?
Our numbers grow daily with every hate crime or case of police brutality.
Why do you want to own guns again?
It's my right.
Right. The Second Amendment also mentions a well-regulated militia.
We have a well-regulated militia.
Do you?
Hmm.
Where do you live again?
That sounds like a background check.
No. We would never do anything like that. Background checks are,
an invasion of privacy.
Right.
A right is a right. It doesn't have to be justified, correct?
That's right. Absolutely.
And it is my right to defend myself against a racist government.
Whoa. All right. The government for sure overreaches, and we hate them. But they aren't racist.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
You would if you came from where I come from.
Yeah.
Where is that again?
I'm from the land that enslaved my ancestors.
Right. All right. Okay. Let's just show a little bit of control with the gun.
Gun control is not necessary. What we need is gun education.
This trigger right here. The slightest pressure from my fingers, I could send enough bullets to rip your body in half.
That's not be too cavalier with this gun. It could kill someone.
Yeah, guns can kill. So can knives. What, you gonna try and take away my knives too?
Yes. What do you need that thing for?
Hunting.
Hunting season is over, man.
That depends on who you hunt.
Who you're hunting?
Was it?
You said who.
Yeah. Is it who you're hunting or what you're hunting?
Who are you hunting? What did I say? You said who. I
said who.
Just now?
Definitely said who.
You said who.
From my cold, dead hand.
Somebody,